Good morning, honorable scholars. I would like first to thank Professor Chang and Professor Feuillard for giving us this marvelous opportunity to exchange on the topic of ritual. As you can hear it, my English is not up to the task, and I'm afraid that you are up for a seance of ritual torture. It only lasts 20 minutes, so bear with me. My presentation is about the the question of moral judgment, expressed in a very loosely way, as seen in Leachy and other sources. For that, I will go in three stages. First one is about the problem of the different definitions we can give ritual, and the question of the problematization, the moment where the ritual becomes a topic as such. Second one would be some general remarks on the textualization of ritual, the moment where what is a question of essentially a practice becomes a series of texts. And the third one will be centered on the two expressions found in basically in the Liti, but in other sources as well, expressing a judgment of ritual impropriety. So let's start with the those primary definitions. First one, of course, there is no civilization without any norms of or accepted behavior. In the case of the ancient Chinese society, maybe beginning with the end of the spring and autumn period, a specific character is used to evoke those ritual domains, and that this is the character Li, which is notoriously difficult to translate either in French, in English, or any other language. Basically, this character covers two different domains. They are, of course, linked, but they are different. They belong to different spheres. The first one is the ceremonies as such. So what you do, sacrifices, ceremony of capping, military ceremonies, and so on. And the second one, Li, becomes a concept, the overarching terms through which, particularly the Confucians, tried to give the organizing principle of the society. Now, we do have local definitions. I've chosen those two. The first one is in the Urya, the lexicon, the Han Time lexicon, where the character Li is defined by two other characters, Xia and Chang. And it expresses one of the characteristics of ritual, the fact that it wants to establish constant, something that doesn't move, doesn't change. Of course, it's paradoxical because ritual themselves, seen in a historical perspective, change all the time. And we'll see one of the problems attached to that. The second definition is, of course, in the Shuo Wen Jiezi, the first dictionary as such, where the rituals are defined by only the practice. But not only that, there is a goal attached to this practice, Sui Shi Shen Zhi Fu.
That is to say,
those practices have a goal in order to serve the preternatural entities in order to obtain some benediction, some blessings, some advantages. So it's the mix, admixture, so to speak, of praxis on the one hand and what we call religion on the other. There are five categories of rituals, loosely belonging to either the auspicious or the inauspicious, sacrifices, funerals, ritual in hospitality, military rituals, which are very important, and of course all the others. but of course those at the beginning, at least, those rituals were only the realm of the elite, the nobility and so on. It's only later on that rituals diffused through society. Now, ritual has become a problem It has become a topic through several stages. Well, this is of course open to discussion. But grossly speaking, one of the first step is attributed to Yanzi in the Zhouzhuan, where he makes this term, the ritual, the basis for the organization of the territory and its inscription in the long duration. And it does it through a process of cosmologization. This process is well known. there is another step, and it is found in the Liti. I jump a little bit through history here, but I have chosen the ritual per excellence, so to speak, which is sacrifice. And it is defined immediately in political terms. Well, ritual first is defined in political terms. It's a way of organizing society. And within those rituals, the sacrifice he is and has been for a long time, continuously through Chinese history, the master, so to speak, type of ritual. But what is added here is very interesting. The practice of ritual is not enough. It must come from inside, from the mentality, from the heart, which is much more than the emotions. It's also the will, the intelligence, and so on. So there is another step of rationalization from pure praxis, if there was such a thing. This is debatable, but it's not the topic, to the process of reflexivity. And this process of reflexivity is attributed, as you can see it in the chapter Yanghuo in Lunyu, to the master himself, who said, well, is there anything else than the display and use of material things? You know, ceremonies, is that only about jade and silks, bells and drums? There's another a step of that problematization can be found in the Xunzi chapter, the Lulu. And I've chosen the part concerning the sacrifice for obvious reasons. And you have this difference between the understanding of what sacrifice is all about. For the elite, it's about, to use a Buddhism term, distinction. For the commoners, it's about the gods or the preternatural entities. Now, this problematization can also be relied to, this is an extract from the Zhouzhuan. And you have this Zegong observing a ceremonial meeting between two lords. And you have almost the equivalent of an anthropological study on the gestures and the attitude. So there is something else than the pure practice. And here you have a judgment expressed in such a way that it makes us understand that the way it is, the ceremonials are done, it's not mechanical. Of course, you have the problem of that, of the prediction, but this is not the topic. And we could say that this step corresponds to the first introspection of what ritual is. But there is a second movement, which is extrospection, the moment where a topic is written, is expressed in an external way through writing, and it becomes the object of reflexivity, theorization, and so on. Just a few reminders. Ritual texts, they do not originate in ritual texts. That's obvious, but it should be reminded. First, there are ceremonies. In a lot of civilizations, you do have rituals, and very sophisticated one, but not a single written text. Now, concretely, it so happens that in Chinese civilization, as soon as writing emerges during the Shang Dynasty, it's immediately embedded in a ritual context. Religious, political, those two domains are so very intertwined. of course. Even if the archaeological data allows us to understand that the rituals predated the invention of writing, writing itself is ritual from the start. Now, as a linguist said, existence of language is not the same thing as awareness of language. Now, the appearance of writing allows us to have some clues about the problematization of ritual, and as I write here, existence of ritual is not the same thing as awareness of rituals. And the existence of Han-Time compendia bear witness to this process, the awareness of ritual as such. this textualization, of course, goes through several stages. There are a lot of origins. Of course, those points are still debated, but you might have the Zhou royal court archives, the bronze inscriptions. The writing materials, and those 30 years have seen a flurry of new materials from tombs, bamboo inscriptions in particular. And for example, Dirk Meyer emitted the hypothesis that the multiplication of writing sources was an accelerant to the intellectual exchanges beginning at the very end of the spring and autumn period. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take those two domains, rituals as such, ceremonies and so on, and texts, there must be some common ground. If it were not the case, of course, the writing of ritual would be impossible. Now, Professor Nylan remarked that one of those common points is the compression of time, a richer type of experience through ceremonies, on the one hand, and the textual references with a beginning and the end, and the existence of sequence of discrete units. And I would add that both ritual and text are kind of narrative. Of course, there is another aspect to the writing process, the theorization. Here you have an extract from the Tiao-Te-Sheng and exposing the different goals of the sacrifices. And if you compare that with the modern research on sacrifice made by specialists of religion, anthropology, anthropologists, and so on, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. So sometimes I think that we are incapable of inventing new things. Well, at least we constantly rediscover. now, the existence of compendia from the Han time poses a question to the modern mind, at least the Western mind in our society, where rituals, I wouldn't say have disappeared, but have become invisible. And one of the interests of ancient Chinese civilization is the fact that rituals are explicit, whereas our norms tend to become implicit since they are learned at a very early age. Well, I will pass on the episode of Han Gaozu and Shu Sun Tong, and the other scholars have explored it in detail. But I've said that those incredible rituals, you have a very rich, detailed descriptions of behaviors in different occasions. And for a modern mind, it sometimes renders us quite incredulous. How is it possible that people went through those very elaborate gestures and so on? But you have to remember that we ourselves still have some ceremonies which are very intricate. I just passed on the one of the main problems related to the existence of ritual texts, their validity and the reality, so to speak, but I think that Professor Alan Todd will make a presentation on that, but he's much more competent than I am. So now, for the last aspect of my presentation, the ritual judgment on misconduct, a few remarks on the ritual texts. They are between the descriptive and the normative. And of course, there is also an aspect of theorization. I have chosen to explore this topic through two expressions, Feiliye and Wuliye. The first example I give is not from the Liti, but from the Zhuozhuan, one of my favorite texts. And here you have in the annals as such a description of what happened, and the Duke went to shoot, or according to another version, the city, to look at the fishes in pond or lake in Tang. And the Zhuozhuan himself itself adds a remark on the impropriety attached to such a behavior. But the funny thing is, if you consider historically the relationship between the lord of the territory and the territory itself, what this lord said, I've explored this question in the second chapter of my book, Politics and Religion in Ancient China. But what the Duke did was completely proper. The link between the lord and the territory was expressed in a different operation of observation of the riches, and particularly the natural riches. But here it's judged in a negative way. And it bears witness to a transformation of the way a government was done. So we come from a period, very archaic, where this link is direct, and in another period, after a different changes in the government, where all those things are supposed to be beneath the lord and given to proper functionaries or officers. Now, a series of preliminaries, I will have to go very quickly on that. I've noticed that those two expressions, Feiliye and Wuli, are not present in those, the canon of documents, the officer of Zhou, well, officer of Zhou is one mention, but. And in Yili, there is one mention in the chapter Pinli, but it it's only within the context of, how should I say, ritual avoidance during a meeting of two important persons. In philosophical text, curiously, in the Lunyu, there is no mention of Feiliye. That's an oddity. In the Mengzi, there's only one mention. It's worthy of examination, but time dictates that we have to pass. Now, about the Liti, there will be several presentations of different aspects of this text. This is only a reminder that there are some correspondences to pre-Qin materials. There are also correspondence in the text with bronze inscription, as you can see, the chapter Titong. There's also, I think, another chapter in the Yili in particular, which can be compared with, here, for example, I've chosen the part of the inscription of the Yi Hou Zigui, a very archaic Western Zhou bronze. And what is described in the Liti and other sources, researched sources as well, correspond quite closely to what can be gleaned from those bronze inscriptions. So there is indeed a lot of material which is not Han and comes from even very archaic period. Two other characteristics that interest me quite a lot. In the two other compendia, there is no historical or geographic mentions whatsoever. In the Liti, while it is not surprising that the country, the territory most noted, most mentioned is the territory of Lu. You see the overarching figure of Confucius, it's not really surprising. Now, there is another characteristic, the presence in the Liti itself of what I call the primary commentary. Here you have a descriptive of a ceremony, and at the end, I've put it here in red, you have the morality, the meaning of this ceremony expressed in a very terse way, in other places it's done in the... I really have to... Well, Félie, there are 25 mentions of it. Stéphane thought about the one of the... where is the basic of ritual? In fact, you can find it here. And Lai Puang Félie, one of the overarching organizing principles of ancient rituals is the principle of reciprocity, at least within the elite. Sometimes, here, you have amusing anecdotes, and of course it opens the field to a comparison with archaeological data. And it's about the abandonment, at least in the text, of the practice of accompaniment funeral, the living persons accompanying the death. You have two or three anecdotes like that. Sometimes this the mention of the ritual impropriety give us a clue to the existence of a rule. Here, the only way we have to know about the rule is the fact that there has been a negative judgment expressed on this rule, otherwise not mentioned. Political realm is, of course, covered also by those mention of ritual impropriety. Of course, here you have a text bearing on the sometimes a difficult relationship between the lords and their ministers. Also here, what we would express in a very hard-nosed and realpolitik way has been expressed in ritual way, but we are talking about the same thing here. Sometimes, and that's interesting because a ritual is supposed to establish constants. But still, in the Liti, you have the clear historical conscience of the changes within the ritual. And I would add that one of the domains where change can be noticed more easily is precisely the domain of ritual, since it is supposed to be about constants. So where there is a visible behavior suddenly changing, it's noticed almost immediately. Well, I'm okay. I'm afraid that there's other materials as well. So let's maybe jump to the conclusion immediately. Already? Okay. this is only a job in progress. I have started this exploration of the topic of ritual impropriety, and I think it's very rich. It does have a very rich heuristic value. And I've explored some of it in the Liti, but in the Zhoudouan in particular, it will yield a lot of very interesting results. Okay, your ordeal is over, mine begins. As they used to say, liar, puang, failure. Thank you.